Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 121. This is Stephen Zimmer, and I'm here with you tonight with Holly Phillippe and Daniel Dark. And oh, audience, you are in for quite a treat because Holly and I have been beat up by this heat the last 3 days pretty good. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of you out there are also experiencing a lot of fun in this heat. But it's going to be an interesting night. And Holly may sound a little different because, yes, we have been in a car with no air conditioning doing a lot of stuff the last 3 days. And got a little bit overdone on the heat, so if I'm short of breath and Holly sounds a little bit off, then that's why. And but however, we are here, and the show, of course, is going to go on, and we are dedicated to you, and this proves it, right, Holly?
Yes, and I will not be hollering Holly tonight, but I am here.
She sounds like she's a little froggy, but
yes.
she will make it through the show, and I will be here trying to escort these two through this show tonight. So you will hear
much
a little bit more of me than what you might want to, but so be it. You signed on.
We won't argue.
You get me.
Sounds good. Because, oh, man, we've had one hell of a heat wave out in the Midwest the past several days, and it's just been relentless. And, of course, the humorous life of the independent creative and author world, when you have a compressor to fix and not enough dollars to fix it, it puts you in tight spots like this. And so, yeah, we had to soldier through a few days of stuff we had to do, and it was not good because, we definitely overdid it. So be careful out there. Holly and I are testaments to that.
And you think I'm crazy about wearing black all the time. I was out in 100-degree heat the other day, for 3 days, and I'm still here. So I rest my case.
Yes, I'm not envious of that. Oh, my God. And I think Holly dropped here, so she may be off for a second here. See her call drop, but she'll be on here in just a second.
Yeah.
I know she'll be getting back on.
It's been, over 90 degrees for 7 days in a row here. So I don't know about where you're at, but I would say probably close to the same thing.
It was in the upper 90s where we were at, and one day was over 100. So, it was sheer misery, to say the least. And after 3 days of it, ended up getting all the symptoms of what I guess you describe as near heat stroke territory. And so that's why I'm a little bit short of breath tonight, and definitely, hot and cold kind of flashes and all kinds of joyous aftermath stuff. And of course I'm going to do my best to be here on the show. And here we are.
Before you drop off the planet and everything, What do you have coming up for us, Stephen? I know that you had a launch this week.
Oh, wow. It's not next week, but right the week after, we're kind of gearing up for two. I've never done two releases in a month, but I've been on that pattern where we have the novellas coming out about monthly. So the regularly scheduled novella is coming out on July 6th, and that's a new Raiden Valkyrie adventure, Winds of War. And but the same week, on that Wednesday, on July 4th, a book called Dream of the Navigator, which is going to be very interested to hear what people have to say, because it's my first true YA book, and it's dystopian, cross-genre, kind of near-future setting. a lot of stuff with technocracies, and on the other hand of the equation, a lot of stuff with higher realms of consciousness. So it's a fusion of tech stuff, and it's a fusion of what one would call a speculative, non-physical types of turf. So it's going to be really interesting to see what people think. I describe it as 1984 and Brave New World meets Narnia. So I stand really strongly by that description. So if that sounds odd, read it. You'll know why.
For us non-digital people, will it be out in print?
Yes. Yes, Dream of the Navigator is a print release. The novellas are pretty strictly ebook releases. We do hope to get a compendium that's a print compendium of some of those out at some point. But you know, right now, on ebook at least, they are going to be independently put out each month, and that's where that's at. And that's kind of fun because a lot of people have been asking me, oh, with this new rapid release schedule of novellas, how's it going? And, you know, it definitely is a very valuable thing. And I think it's really been a good thing to do for the readers. And
how long are these novellas? About how many pages?
Between 20,000 and 25,000 words. So I guess in print they'd be a little over 100 pages maybe, I guess, somewhere in that ballpark. So. They're much bigger than short stories, but they're not certainly not size of like a full novel. But they give you enough space as a writer that you can develop a plot and a character in a story more so than you can't. You have a little more room to develop things than you do in like a 5,000 to 10,000 word short story. So it's a nice kind of balance between the two.
Sounds good.
Do have to hit it quick and get in the action quick. So these are very action driven. So I kind of liken it to like a modern day kind of Pulp Fiction kind of approach, because it's, remember the old days with Robert E. Howard and all the others, and they'd come out with new tales of all kinds of people like Conan and all every month, and Pulp Fiction magazines and things like that. And it's in my mind, this is kind of like a modern version of that. So, it's not too new. Maybe the form of it is, but it's definitely been done before as far as this kind of pace.
Have you thought about bringing them into the animated world, into like comic books or the graphic novel era?
Yes.
I think they would be very good for that. So,
yes, and these would, and I have talked to some artists, one of whom did some work already with me, and did a phenomenal job of getting doing some Raiden Valkyrie artwork, and I hope that some point that we get to do a full length short comic series or graphic novels, because I do think they would translate really, really well to that sort of frame, in the same way that the Conan stories translated really well for that medium. And so I think
it would
work. It's just a matter of artist intensive. I mean, obviously, comics are graphic novels, so it's very time intensive, and you just have to really get get somebody that's got a clear deck to be willing to work on a project like that. And so that's the main thing, is just finding the artist has
the
time to do it.
Comic book area too.
Right.
Yeah, but yes, we'd love to do it, and it would be a lot of fun. So I have to admit,
you would have to take your 100 pages and dwindle it down to, say, 50 pages, with half those pages being artwork.
Pictures.
So
yeah, and I'd like to go through that process. I've never been through it, so honestly, I would like to go through the whole thing from beginning to end as a writer and the collaboration with an artist like that, because I love collaborating with the artists on cover art. So, this would be even far beyond that, in a sense, just to, be able to actually tell a story visually, and then picking the right dialogue and the right, snippets of words to put in there with it. That would be interesting. So I would think I would learn a lot as a writer. So that would be fun.
And our guest tonight will be, would be one that you could actually use instead of the normal artwork. You would be able to use photo artwork for it if you collaborated with him. So,
yeah, so
not giving anything away.
I guess
yet,
I'm excited about. Holly found our guest tonight, and she—that's why she's really toughing it out tonight to be on the air because she's so excited, and our guest is a great one, but again, like you said, you know, it takes a big turn into the art side of things, and then also the film TV area as well. So that's gonna be a lot of fun to kind of delve into that sector. So you know, that we can look forward to that phone call shortly, and I am watching a. Yeah, we had our DSL service decided to suddenly go kerplunk, and they haven't gotten the tech person out yet. I won't call out the company because I'll give them a chance to make good on this. But it makes for an interesting moments here too, because I have to run tonight. Tonight I'm running the show board off of a Wi-Fi hotspot.
And my phone froze
our
a minute ago.
Board.
Yeah,
but I do have an eye on the board, so when they call in, we will see them call in. So I will bring it to
their
attention.
We're
going to
get through this one way or the other. We'll get through this one way or the other.
Yep. There's no problem getting through it. It's just a matter of, you know, how long will it take us? If people will stay with us, we will get through it.
That's true.
Yeah, with a little Daniel Dark magic. That's what we're depending on tonight. Yeah, definitely. Daniel's gonna have to pour some of his custom ketchup on the mix tonight to round it out, I think. I think we'll do just fine.
I'm gonna pour the Tennessee Magic straight up to Kentucky and knock out some bourbon out of the sky so that Stephen can get well.
Oh my God, there's a glass.
Well, he's got bourbon in hand.
There's a glass right next to me. Where did that come from? I can't believe it. Yeah, and tonight it is truly medicinal. I know I tell you, everybody listens, that I make it a tradition to always have a glass of bourbon while I do the show, and it does. It kind of gets our relaxed vibe, entertainment, and informative, and it's fun. But tonight it's actually serving a medicinal purpose, I think, because, oh, man, yeah, it's definitely needed. But if you want to make
Stephen is actually a recluse, and he doesn't like
to be
in front of everybody and be out in public. But
I'm an aspiring recluse.
He does this show because that's what he needs to do for y'all. So
I'm an aspiring recluse. It's in the every year that I get older, I aspirations to achieving that someday, but I haven't quite hit the J.D. Salinger point yet. I haven't started just writing novels for myself only, but it's can't quite rule that out entirely in the future. But I understand where he was coming from. That's the scary part. I actually understand the kind of mindset he must be in. but I guess
people
most indie authors can relate to that.
We're too entertaining.
Most of the authors can relate to that kind of feeling, though. We got a great bunch of listeners every week. Yeah, and like a lot of good folks out there. I know
Colleen
Carol Preplatish and Molly
in the
Daniels.
Chat room.
And
who's in the chat room? In the chat room, Holly?
Colleen Green,
yes.
Hey, Colleen.
Welcome back to our guest
week. Well, she was. She popped out. She'll pop back in. She probably got booted.
Snuck in, snuck out. Very sneaky. Very sneaky. Well done,
Colleen.
I've got
to listen to that idiot Dark all night long and everything. I'm going to leave. Okay.
She's back.
Now, Holly.
Hi.
Now, Holly, our guest may not recognize you by voice tonight because our guest may not have heard about all the glorious heat-related fun we've been through that's hampered us in our health here this week. But our guest is online, so I wanted to go ahead and let you, because you found this amazing guest for us tonight. I would like you to give the introduction, Holly, and I will have the mic turned on for our guest. So go ahead, Holly.
Fantastic. I would like to introduce to you tonight someone who is phenomenal, special effects artist and body artist. Just phenomenal. You have to check his work out. You would be blown away. That's all I can say. Just blown away. I would like to introduce Steve-O Shepherd.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, you still had a great big introduction like that.
Even with
no voice.
Well, we're excited to have you, because if we weren't, then Holly and I would not be on the show tonight in the condition we're in. So.
Right on.
Yeah, we got beat up pretty good by this heat, and yeah, we're. But we, like we said at the beginning of the show, you know, we are very glad to have you. I come from, yes. You know, I'm not just an author, but I'm also a filmmaker. So I come from, you know, a bit of your world, and then I know Daniel's really excited to talk to you tonight, and then Holly, working on what she does with me, also is, you know, comes from the world where, you know, makeup effects are a big thing, conventions, body art.
Yes.
So, yeah, we are excited, and we do not often get a chance to talk to somebody like you on our show. So, yeah, we want to explore everything. So I will let Holly get it underway here.
Awesome.
Yes. Well, Steve-O, the first thing I would like to ask you is, at what age did you know that you wanted to be a special effects artist?
Oh, that's a hard one. I was really, I was pretty young. I was probably still in elementary school, right around probably the ages of between five and seven. I would take my mother's very expensive makeup and put bruises and cuts and stuff on my friends, and got into a lot of trouble for doing that. Putting bruises, and people thought I was the parents of the kids that I put bruises on thought I was beating them up, and then they ended up finding out that it was all fake, and then my mom was really mad. Yeah, but I was rather young.
So just with makeup, he got a reputation as the toughest guy in the neighborhood as a kid. All he had to use was makeup; didn't even have to hit anybody.
That's
right.
And
he had a fearsome reputation. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes.
That's fantastic. What are your major, who I should say, are your major influences?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious too.
Influences. Most of my influences in the special effects realm, I guess, would probably be Romero and Savini in the special effects world. But I try to collaborate more of. I'm a very big fan of Salvador Dali and Andy Warhol, so I try to bring more of those realms into the special effects realm, and that's what my little niche is.
Very cool.
Well, I have
very
a Dali print
cool.
at the top of my stairs in my house, so we're Dali fans. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Daniel.
I was looking through his pictures earlier today on Facebook, and if you have not seen any true body art, you need to go to Steve-O's site, because that is true body art. He's got one on there that is a girl that's done as a doll, stitched together sort of like Jill from, you know, Jack Skeleton in Nightmare Before Christmas. And
yes, sir. Yeah.
That
was Sally.
You can't even see that it's not real stitches in everything going through her skin and stuff like that. And that amazes me. When you're working on a piece, I know that, you know, every piece is different, but what one piece that you did was the most challenging for you, and why?
Most challenging. I want to say that I always find new challenges in within each specific piece, and one, you know, there's never really I don't know, that's a tough one. There's always something that that's kind of what I really pride myself on, is being able to be a MacGyver and be able to fix whatever situation ends up coming around. There's always several bugs that happen, you know, like we always end up having some sort of catch up, or something doesn't necessarily work out the way we want it to. So we end up having to go back in and be able to fix it rather than just scrap the whole project. I want to say that one of my most difficult was probably trying to do a actual body paint in a nightclub atmosphere when there was no lights to be had.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You're trying to
do it while
the nightclub is going on?
Yes, yeah. While the nightclub and all the other activities and dancing and everything else was going on with strobe lights and black lights and all the other fun stuff. And it ended up it was an outer space painting. So the colors were a little, that was the most trying part for me, was trying to figure out how to get the colors right. And then it actually looked really, really good after the fact.
I can understand that, because looking at the pieces that you had in there, there's some pieces that the colors are so subtle in the piece, but they're so dramatic too, that in that type of atmosphere, you wouldn't be able to see the difference. You had to sit there and just know the difference yourself.
Yeah, you would have to already.
That takes true talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Definitely have to know what you're doing.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's like whenever I started out doing this, I actually started out painting at nightclubs and just doing like temporary tattoo style stuff. So I'm kind of used to that, but it's still one of those that it definitely makes it difficult after getting spoiled inside of a nice studio with a bunch of lights and everything else, you know?
Well, yeah.
a
little different.
I've done artwork in other realms and everything. What is the challenge of having the flesh as your canvas?
That you're on a timeline, you know, you can't paint a little bit and then come back to it an hour later and then paint a little bit more and then come back to it a little bit later. I found that the average model only has enough patience to stand there for about 4 to 6 hours. After that, your model ends up starting to get really tired and impatient about standing there, even if you take a couple of breaks throughout it. That's one of the things I found in making sure that your models have eaten before and have stayed hydrated before, because a lot of models won't eat before they do a photo shoot. It's kind of one of those things, you know. And with this kind of photo shoot, you definitely have to eat because you're going to be standing for about 4 to 6 hours. And a lot of people don't think, oh, well, I'm just going to be standing. It doesn't take much. It takes just as much to stand still as it does to walk around, you know, if not a little bit more.
Right.
And that's one of the little things that a lot of people forget. I've had several models actually faint from standing up and locking their knees and things of that nature. And that's been one of those obstacles that I've always found trying.
Yeah,
well, we can relate, because, I mean, just standing at conventions for an entire day, I mean, yeah, it drains the heck out of you.
Exhausting.
And that's something we try to convey to people on the show here. But it's one of the things I think is neat for the uninitiated who have not seen a body art show. I mean, how elaborate it is. I mean, when you look at a finished body art piece, it looks to the naked eye, you know, in once the show is up, sometimes that they have a costume on. Yeah, I mean, it absolutely almost like a costume on the body. I mean, that's how elaborate the shading and everything is. It has that depth. It gives it that look. And I imagine it's tough to work under the gun, especially in like I see at conventions, you know, when they're trying to roll like 5 or 6 people onto stage in a show at night. I'm sure, that's a lot of pressure for you to deal with in addition to the art. So, kudos on that.
Thank you. That's actually kind of one of the things that I really enjoy the most about it, is the not necessarily the competition in it, but the pressure that comes along with it. I actually work a little bit better under pressure, and I found that, like, if I sit and I plan out the way I want a specific competition to go, I end up finding out that, like, I get discouraged as I'm painting it a lot faster compared to if I just wait that day and then come up with a design and then pressure myself into doing it all. I end up coming out a lot happier with the end design.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the pictures, one of them that I was looking at, you know, I thought it was a bikini shoot, and looked at a few more of the pictures, and I'm like, that's not a bikini. Okay.
It's not a bikini. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Most of the females that are on my page are completely nude. Yes, and you would not
nude.
Be able to tell at all.
No.
Yes.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Not
can't
see
know.
You.
Yes. Yeah.
You really, really
no,
look.
You can't
yeah.
tell. You know, You can't tell if they're not, you know, that they're not clothed. You know, that's
right.
Like I said, the one that you did, like Sally and everything. I mean, it's that one. I like, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, and seeing somebody actually done sort of like that was sort of unique to me. I hadn't really seen anybody that actually had the stitches in there that weren't piercings or something like that.
Right,
yes,
sir.
But that didn't look obvious.
Yeah, you did a marvelous job on that piece, just making it look like the stitches went straight through her skin and stuff.
Thank you, thank you.
Amazing. Just
that's
amazing.
One of
that's the
things that I really enjoy doing as well is the optical illusions. Those are kind of one of my favorite things about doing the special effects makeup, is being able to take something and create it into something else that doesn't look at all like it normally looks.
Yeah,
and that's exactly it. That's kind of what I was about to say, is that when you when you say things like, okay, this person is not wearing any clothes, they're naked, it's not, it doesn't ever come across as something like a, you know, a erotic kind of thing. It is totally different than that. Really does look, I mean, like you said, an optical illusion, and you don't even notice. I mean, you have to almost like concentrate to realize that they it's paint, you know, and it's not
a
costume.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's the thing that blows me away every time.
I had flipped through about 5 different pictures of this one girl before I realized that she was not wearing a bikini.
It's just amazing how that happens.
When it comes to you're getting into their personal space, do you ever have any issues with the models being that personal with the models?
At first, whenever I first started to do this, I have Asperger's, and so just being in atmosphere with other people has always been an awkward situation for me. And this has been kind of one of those things that has really helped that and helped me become more sociable with people. And I've actually almost all of the models that I've worked with prefer to work with me over other body paint artists, because I do try to make them feel a lot more comfortable in that city, because it is kind of an awkward situation. And so that's one of the things that I try to always tend to the model and make sure that they're comfortable, because if they're comfortable, then I'm comfortable.
Yeah. It's almost like nude photography when it comes down to it. You know, if they're not comfortable person doing it, they're, you know, and
they,
with everything that's going on in the news nowadays.
In the space.
Yes, yes. Yes, and that's one of the things I really appreciate, that people acknowledge it as it being art, and it's not something that is a little risky or outside of the box. You know, it might be a little bit outside of the box for most people, but that's one of the main things that I really wanted to try and advocate whenever I first started doing this, was that it's not something erotic. It's not something dirty that you shouldn't be looking at. No, this is art. You're supposed to look at this, you know.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I try to get people. I'll put little hidden gems into paintings specifically just so you have to take a closer look at it. You know, that's one of the things I like to do.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, yeah, it's definitely an art show.
I saw a few that you had on there that were horror artwork, or whatever you want to call it, where it looked like they'd been skinned and different things like that.
Yes.
How do you go about it making it look still wet and everything when it's got to be dry, or
There's several different types of makeup that I can use that will make it look glossy while it's still dry, and it just depends on the material. I use a lot of silicone, and silicone will look glossy and wet for years and years, even though it's dry to the touch. And that's one of the best silicones is, it's a lot of fun to play with.
Cool.
Yeah, because it looks so realistic, you know, it looks just like, it would be seeping or wet it's just amazing. And that's why I really like to look at the depth, and you can like see the muscle skeletal aspect of it, you know, the different layers, and I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing how you can
thank you,
do
thank
that.
You.
That's what I said. Yeah, one has to be talented to be able to do that. You know, if I tried to do something like that, it would look like Charlie Brown or something. I don't know. It would just be awful.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time reading a lot of anatomy books and understanding the human anatomy in order to do a lot of the special effects that I do to make sure that, because I want to try and make sure that everything is as accurate as possible.
Right.
Now
right.
Do you do your
that
own makeup
through.
Too?
Yes, I do. Yes, I've acted in a couple of different films, and actually one of the films that I got to act in, the first time I acted was the actor had ended up missing the opportunity or whatever, and he was like, hey, the director was like, go ahead and do the makeup on yourself. We'll just have you stand in. You won't have any lines or anything. We're just going to beat you up, put you in a corner. And then they ended up, I ended up beating myself up and then going down there, and then it ended up being a bigger role than I thought it was going to be, and ended up being a reoccurring role, which was a lot of fun as well. And that was on the Birchrod with Herschel Zahn, which is one of my favorite photographers.
Yes,
hi.
I saw that he did your headshot that we had used for the show tonight, that he was the photographer. And yeah, he is an extremely talented filmmaker and post-production wizard and all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's definitely an amazing photographer. Yeah, definitely want to give him a shout-out. And I've seen him around the body art shows, too. So I know he's very familiar with that, too.
Yes, sir.
In that one picture on your thing where you're standing there with all the muscles and the machine gun, you know, how much body work did you have to do on that one?
I'm trying to think of
on your Facebook page. It's a Rambo,
Commando
type thing.
That is actually a photo composite. That was actually a picture of Rambo that I put my head on that body. I just recently started to get into the digital art as well, and that was one of the things that I started to play around with, was putting my head onto different bodies.
Yeah, I saw your picture, then I saw that picture, and I'm like, yeah, that ain't the same body.
Yeah, that ain't the same guy, no. Those are only dreams. those are only dreams. Yes, I'm a little guy.
So
I'm always going to be a little guy. It'll never... Yeah,
well, maybe
I
tonight,
it would take
we'll be,
me
his head on Daniel Dark's body wearing a top hat and in London with the big knife. Who knows?
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. The reincarnation of Jack the Ripper, but now he knows. So
yes,
it's all good.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
you are talking to Jack. Yes.
You didn't tell him that before he accepted to be on the show.
Nope. No, I didn't warn him.
Surprise.
I'm sorry.
You
can
definitely paint some of your victims, Daniel.
Yes, he could. Yeah, we can make them look all clean and pretty again.
Yes.
Yeah, he would have been the one to do the cover, the original cover that I wanted for Knife's Tale, where the girl's laying there and I'd be standing over the top of her with a knife, and Knife's Tale would be, you know, carved into her torso.
Oh my God! Classic.
Yes, I can make that happen to where it looks just the part.
There you go. we've got Daniel in contact with his new best friend now. Oh Lord!
His new best friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe
Blood,
for Knife's Tale too.
That's Blood, Guts, and Gore is definitely my passion. I definitely like to play with Blood, Guts, and Gore. That's
well,
there you go.
At night.
Well, let's take a turn into that world right now, because the makeup effects were, you know, of course, the thing for a long time, and then when CGI was new, everybody kind of jumped on that train for a while. But now I see a lot of people are wanting to come back to the practical, to physical makeup effects, to, you know, that type of special effect, and actually, you know, it's turning back a little bit from over reliance on CGI. And how are things going with you as far as we mentioned a little bit of the movie side of things, but are you doing a lot of film work currently, or are you looking to do? Are you going to be getting into more of that side of things in the near future?
Yes, right now I am actually waiting for a contract to finish. I have like another couple more months until that contract is up, and then once that contract's up, then I'm back out into the market and going to be hitting a lot more of the films. I like doing a lot of local independent films. There's a lot more people that a lot more passion in independent films, I'll say. And I enjoy being around other passionate, creative individuals, and that's one of the fun things. But yes, I'll also be I travel to Atlanta and LA quite often to do special effects for movies. But like I said, right now I'm waiting for my contract to run up with this with the last thing I was on. And once that is finished up, then I'm going to be back out doing special effects for movies. That's more of what I would rather be doing. I really enjoy doing the body painting, but the special effects is really like what, at the end of the day, that's what makes me the happiest, is getting to be out on film set, even if I'm not necessarily doing special effects makeup that day, but just being out on a film set, that's where I belong. So that's one of the things that, yes, I will be definitely doing a lot more special effects coming soon. And now
well, then
also
don't
have
forget
a
about
of,
us.
Oh, no, of course not. No, yes. And then
don't
I
forget
have
about
a couple
us,
of films that, that I'll be acting in here in the next couple of months that will be getting promoted at the end of this year.
Nice.
Very cool.
That's a whole other thing that, yeah, I just got into acting middle of last year, and it kind of, I got the acting bug under my skin, to say the least. It was, as soon as I did it, it was kind of like a tattoo. I was like, oh, I need another one. Ooh, I need another one. So that's kind of spending a lot of time focusing my energy on both of those realms, is getting back into doing more special effects and trying to bring more stuff here, especially more effects-driven things here. And then with the CGI stuff, I've always kind of been on the fence with CGI as a practical effects artist. But now it's at the point where, yes, they are finally starting to bring a lot more practical effects back, but they're also mixing it with the CGI, which I definitely, I appreciate and like, because there's a lot of things that, that you just can't do with practical that you can do with CGI, but there's a lot of things that you can do with practical that it just makes the film so much better. It's like, if you can build a set and make it look like the set, then do it, you know. But if it's something like futuristic and stuff like that, that's kind of one of those things, like, I enjoy the CGI in some things. I actually got lost watching the new Planet of the Apes film and forgot that, as a movie person that knows that it's a movie and that it's all CGI, I was like, how did they get those apes to train to do that? And I'm like, oh, they're not really apes, you know? So it's one of those things that, you know, I appreciate
Very
the
cool.
CGI and stuff. But at the same time, like, there's a lot of things where I feel like they do overuse it on a lot of stuff, but it's one of those things where they're finally, yeah, starting to bring it back, and it is starting to have a little bit more of a play within how people view filmmaking in itself.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
Well, we have.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we have Kinsey Michaels in the chat room, and she was wondering if you can name a few movies that you have worked on.
As of right now, would be Divertrog, Payday, and a few other small independent films. Oh, there was also On My Way to Hell, too. That was a small fan film that I was in as well.
Nice.
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah, because you live, I'm guessing that you live in the Louisville area, and there's a really good independent film community there. I mean, definitely a lot of folks doing a lot of things, so I'm sure you have a lot of choice and projects coming up here, because we've seen quite a bit coming out of there. And a lot of our immediate friends.
I was going to say, we'd have definitely contacted you last year if we'd have known.
Yeah, last year.
And definitely invited you on our set, because, he'd have had a ball out there in the heat.
But I watch actors like John Wells and all them, and, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the area.
John's
so, I mean, that's, it's a good location.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I really enjoy it, because I'm like kind of centrally located in between E-Town, Lexington, and Cincinnati, and then we also have a whole bunch of stuff here in Louisville, and then I'm not too far from Atlanta, and whenever I have to go out to California, I still have, and it's nice to be able to come back to home whenever everything's all said and done.
Right.
Right. You're central enough to where it's not, you know, that much out of your way. to do things.
Yeah,
so that,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and
that is amazing.
Generally, there's always here in Louisville, you know, there's always something going on. Whether, and that's one of the things that, like, that's why I bounce back between the airbrush body painting and then doing the special effects makeup, is because there's always something going on if I'm doing one of those two things. Either I'm working at an event or a festival. Like, I think I have this coming weekend, I have I'll be at Days of the Dead in Indianapolis. And then the following weekend, I have the Jeffersonville Pride, which I set up and do, like, the temporary body paint, temporary tattoo-style body painting and stuff like that. And so it keeps me busy, as well as I'm also working on two film projects right now.
Very cool.
Louisville's definitely got a lot of stuff going on to where a guy like myself can stay busy as long as you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
You're in
and
Indy
have,
this weekend. Look out for Michael West, because Michael West is one of our co-hosts. He's not on this week, but if you do run into horror author Michael West, he's one of our co-host team here at the show. And he lives in Indianapolis, and I pretty much guarantee you he'll be there this weekend. So we're going to we'll have to tell him to make sure he finds you and says hi.
Awesome.
He's a horror buff deluxe. I mean, he's got if you can get a visitation to his what he calls his office space, do it, because it's like a memorabilia museum, and I'm not joking.
Oh,
it's
nice.
a horror movie memorabilia museum deluxe. I mean, where even his floor is like a Ouija board. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And his dog King Caesar is like the pointer, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking pictures of his dog being like the pointer on the Ouija board, and it's hilarious. But he's got a lot of cool memorabilia, from lots of different films, all through the years in horror. So yeah, he'd be a fun one for you to catch up with there in Indy. So
definitely.
And he knows where the good spots are for good eats and drinks. So another
awesome.
Benefit
That's
of knowing
awesome.
Michael.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the
you were talking
that is awesome.
Earlier
That's
about
great
your,
show.
You were talking earlier
oh,
about your contract being up soon.
Yes, sir.
Will you be a free agent at that time, or do you have somebody would need to contact to be able to get in touch with you?
I am a freelance free agent. Yes, sir. After I believe it will be after August, I will be completely free. Free and individual again. I get my freedom back. Yay.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Yes.
We love freedom.
And then I get to finally, I'll get to promote some of the other things that I got to do after that goes through. So that's I'm kind of really banking and waiting on that. I have a lot more of the prosthetics and things that I've done over the past year and a half that once my contract finally lets out, then I'll actually get to start promoting all of the different special effects stuff that I do. A lot of what I promote right now is just the body paint thing, because that's my own. And the special effects I had other ties with. So, so once my contract's up, I'm a free agent all over again.
I can't wait to see the new stuff.
Do you do special effects props also, or do you just do the body work?
I do pretty much from the ground up. I build sets, make props, costume design, pretty much you name it. I can do it. I tried to be one of those all-in-one shops, and generally I try to help other people with their craft or whatever, and you end up learning some things along the way. So that's
So when we need body parts and everything hanging around for Knife's Tale on the movie, know who to call
now. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I got truckloads of body parts.
Oh, hey. Well,
loads of body parts.
Well,
loads of body
parts. That's pretty handy.
I think Steve-O just got earned a ride from Daniel on his 1901 Oldsmobile horseless carriage, and he has one, by the
I
way, Steve-O.
So.
He honestly does.
That's awesome. Yes, that's awesome.
Oh man,
I can go to father too.
If you go to Daniel Dark page, it's on there, so you'll be able to look at
it's something else.
It's pretty cool.
Get up to 20 miles an hour.
Oh, and Kizzy Michaels, well, she wants to know if you're going to be at In Conjunction in Indianapolis.
I am not aware of it. Oh, yeah, no, I won't be able to make that.
That's one July 4th weekend. That's when that one takes place. Right before that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's always the first weekend in July. But that's a pretty good convention. But yeah, I figured you would be at Days of the Dead. I mean that's definitely a great fit for you. And
I know several of that.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Do you hit all of the Days of the Dead shows in the area, or do you?
No, this will be my first time actually going to the one in Indianapolis. I usually, like I set up, not this past year, but the year before that, and then was a part of the makeup challenge, box challenge that they had there. I didn't know I was going to be at the Indianapolis one until just last week. Otherwise, I would have signed up to be in the competition there. If it's not too late, I might still end up trying to sign up for the competition that they have there. Which is a really fun competition. It's a out-of-the-box competition, so you don't know what you're getting, if you're even going to be getting makeup, and they give you a box and a model, and they give you an hour to create. They'll give you a theme and then give you an hour to create something, and the one that I did last 2 years ago was Cenobites, and those are kind of – I'm a Hellraiser fan, was kind of like right in my ballpark, and ended up getting – I had like – toilet paper and some gray makeup and two cans of hairspray, the colored hairspray or whatever. And I'm an aerosol person. I prefer to use aerosol over cream bases or any other thing. And so I had made sure, looked up the hair stuff and was able to use the hair stuff as actual, like the same way I would use my airbrush, and made stencils and all that stuff right there on the spot and painted her up. That was a really fun one.
That's
nice.
Cool.
Holly, right now, make a note. Whenever we do a series of my hellscape tales, this is the guy we need to talk to because, yeah, Clive Barker is actually one of my biggest influences as a writer, and I actually have written some horror that's in that kind of macabre kind of area. So I'll have to get you a copy
when we start
at some
doing
point,
those. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I said,
I'm
I have truckloads of body parts and
too.
I have gallons of blood. Yeah. I have buckets
there
of blood,
you go.
Nice.
Lots of body parts, yes, and chains for days. My dad is actually, he cuts down trees and stuff, so I have access to all kinds of crazy things. Big tree hooks,
very cool.
Giant, you know, giant logging chains and all kinds of funny, pretty stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about what Daniel's thinking about right now.
Daniel's
I'm really concerned about what he's... But, oh man, that just sounds like fantastic. Well, yeah, I figured you have a crazy world because Holly just has been talking about you for a long time, and get him on the show, Holly. And so thankfully, here you are. So this is fantastic. But yeah, give us a rundown of you mentioned two shows. What do you have coming up show wise even beyond that? I want to give you a chance to give people a little idea of your calendar for different areas.
As of right now, I have two films that I'm working on that will be done at the end of July, that I won't be able to disclose anything until after then. And then I have a show coming up July 8th, at MVP Bar in Louisville. And that's Mike Jones' hip hop show with my buddy Sean Michael. That one's going to be a fun show. We do like, that one again, will be like where I'm doing, tattoo style body painting or, a lot of face painting, stuff like that. And then we have the Pride in, Jeffersonville. And then the thing in Indianapolis, and I think that's all I really have on the books as of right now. I just kind of, like I said, I've been kind of laying low waiting for this contract, and I'm just at the end of my rope with all of it. So I'm just laying low and waiting, saving up my energy right now so that once I can go back out and beat the streets, I can go back out with full energy and beat the streets. So I have until the end of August that I'm just kind of laying low right now, but I'm still capable of doing things.
Well, we respect
just not
that
going out.
You are a professional because, I mean, you respect the non-disclosure clauses, and that's what you're kind of getting at here. And that's very cool. We definitely advocate for all the creatives that listen to our show. Yeah, be a professional, and just like he's doing, I mean, you definitely have to respect the NDA clauses, and that's the way
some
to keep
things
friends
in the business.
You can't
talk about it, and, you know, for a certain amount of time.
That's unfortunately
down around
one of the parts of being
Atlanta anytime.
Yes, I do go down there. I was going down there. It was part of the contract that I'm waiting to finish. But I was going down there regularly and working on a film down there, on a series film down there, and that's what I'm waiting on everything to finish up. But it is, yeah, I have a few connections down there, and definitely like Atlanta. I was trying to bring a little bit of Atlanta back to Louisville, as I know a few other directors and filmmakers were trying to do here, trying to make it a little bit more of a scene here. But ultimately, Atlanta is just a short drive away, so it has everything plus some when it comes to that realm.
I live down in Southern Tennessee, outside of Nashville, so.
Yeah, Dan
nice.
Is closer.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Yeah. Nashville is a fun city as well.
We're in Lexington, so we're not too far from you.
Awesome. Yes.
Well,
yeah.
We love Atlanta.
Yeah, I get out there.
That's of course Tyler Perry country, and he works with our buddy Brock O'Hearn, who we worked with on our TV pilot, and that's Atlanta's got a lot going on, so that's definitely. I'm glad you are working to bring a little bit of Atlanta here. That's good news because that would really benefit this area. Yeah, a lot of good stuff going on down there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that's one of the things. Like Louisville has so many cool things to do, I appreciate that we're a derby town, but I would like to see us be a lot more than just a derby town.
Right.
I'm with you. Amen. The reason we do Imaginarium Convention, yeah, we're trying to make it a really vibrant indie creative community. Yeah, definitely. And
Steve-O,
it's got so
you
much
are
potential.
You are welcome. Let me officially welcome him as a guest. If you want to get with me, check out Imaginarium Convention.
Yeah.
You want to get with me? Kinsey had a perfect idea about a workshop. You could even do a workshop at Imaginarium if you'd like. The planning
honored,
and stuff.
Yeah.
You want to, contact me and I'll give you the information on it. And yeah, we'd love to have you as a guest. It'd be great. It'll be
awesome.
October 5th through the 7th. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It'll
awesome.
Be our fifth
okay.
year. Fifth
yeah.
year. And you even get
yes,
to see,
yeah,
I don't know if you've worked with Derek Kyer yet, but our good buddy Eric Kyer is going to be down here, so he's a character from Louisville. Oh, God, I love the guy.
Yeah, and we have it in Louisville, so we'll be right up
Austin,
your neck of the woods. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
we love the indie creative scene, and so glad to hear that you are one of those people that's working to bring things here. I it's frustrating to see people go elsewhere and then disappear elsewhere, but you sound like one of the people that also works elsewhere and goes to, the hubbubs of, where everything's happening, but also you're working to make things happen here. And that's great. Yeah. That's when you can make some new stuff happen.
That was the biggest part for me was that, ultimately at the end of the day, I just want to be able to do special effects makeup and make a living where I like to live. And ultimately my friends and family are in Louisville. So this is where I like to live, and that's the thing is that we have so many amazingly talented actors and actresses and filmmakers and singers and songwriters and all kinds of other crazy things here. And it's unfortunate that the only way that they can make it is having to go somewhere else, and it puts so much more struggle on you. Like for me, for instance, going to California was one of the worst things and one of the best things I could have done because it really humbled me and put me in my place really fast. It didn't matter how much experience I had out in the outside world, in their world, it was a completely different thing. And it kind of discouraged me to the point of like, well, what's the point of even doing it anymore, And then I came back home and everybody took me in with open arms and it was like, this is why I do this. That was one of the things that I wanted more people to feel that they didn't have to leave, that they could do just what they want to do in their hometown. It's like I'm not necessarily out and trying to make millions of dollars and be the most richest and famous makeup artist in the world. I just want to do what I enjoy doing and have other people around me that enjoy doing what they enjoy doing. And at the end of the day, if I can do that in Louisville, I'll stay here. If I have to go somewhere else, then by all means, then I guess I have to go someplace else. But ultimately, like I said,
right.
if I can do that and then still come home at the end of the day, that's all I really want, you know. And if I can help other people with the same process, because I see so many, like I said, amazing people that get discouraged so easily, and they're like, what's the point, you know? Either I'm not going to make it here, or I'm going to have to go out there and beat my head against the wall and try and never really be sure if I'm ever actually going to do it, you know. And I see so many people that are amazing, and they go out there and they come home and they don't even want to play with their craft or their passion anymore because they got so discouraged by the big city and the big city hustle. And it's one of those places that if you're not used to the big city hustle, it will chew you up and spit you out no matter who you are, you know? And that's one of the things that, like I said, if we could bring a little bit more home so that people could build their credentials a little bit better before they leave to go elsewhere, then I won't see as many of them coming home discouraged, you know?
Right.
Perfect.
No, we definitely see, yeah, we've seen that. Yeah. And then we've seen some that have become big advocates, like Jeffrey Reddick, who, of course, is screenwriter of the Final Destination franchise. He's from Berea, Kentucky. You know, of course, now he's based in Hollywood, but he's always, always advocating Kentucky. And he's a friend of mine. And then Johnny Walls is another one I'd love. If you do get to go to Imaginarium, he is coming back here. And he did relocate for a while. He's currently based out there, but he came back here to Kentucky to shoot his latest feature, which starred Jake Busey, Gary Busey's son, and doing some great work in the indie film world. And so he's another one that basically would be of a similar mind to what you're describing. He understands all that very well, and also is, you know, very proactive. So it's killer to hear this kind of vibe starting to take root in some people like you, to also come back and build, because that's going to help in building those bridges out to the West. So that's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. No, it's one of those, like I said, it was one of those things where I really like to see other people do well, and whatever the majority of the things that I do is to try and inspire other people to do what they enjoy doing too. Like, you shouldn't have to go and work a 9-to-5 and be miserable and come home and be miserable. It's like you can do what you enjoy doing and be able to be happy even if you're at home doing it, you know?
Amen.
That's one of the things, like I said. Yeah, I definitely definitely want to see more people doing what they love doing.
Preach on, Brother Steve-O. We like that.
Yeah. Amen. He's one of us. We're now welcoming you into our tribe. You are part of our tribe now. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
He speaks our language for sure. That's what we if you heard all of our shows, we advocate that kind of thing all
Holy
the time
moly.
Here. And it's a tough haul, but we got about 2.5 minutes on the show coming up, so I want to be sure that listeners can find you at the places you want them to find you online. And so go ahead and give that information now.
You can find me anything to do with body paint or special effects at Facebook / You Become the Art. It's all one word. Or to message me personally for any canvas art or any events that you have coming up. You can find me at Facebook / Tarzan.dangerous.
Very good.
Sounds
very
great.
Good. And I will leave the last bit to Holly because I know she was so excited about having you on here. So got about a minute and a half left, Holly.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. And like I said, get with me. We'll talk about Imaginarium. But you have the same vision as we three do about, you know, wanting to help creatives, build them up, not knock them down, help them enjoy their world and come into their own and support the community as a tribe, as we call it, and not be against each other, but for each other. And that
yes,
way,
ma'am.
You know, you get to do what you love. And if you do what you love every day, it's not work. So,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, well, kudos to you. Daniel, any last words? Oh, go ahead.
I am honored to be on here and talking with all you wonderful people. It's been awesome.
Well, we're the ones that are honored by having great people that are great artists want to come on and have a conversation with us about the art world. And, you know, whether you're doing makeup artist or, you know, prosthetics or different things like that, or whether you're doing, you know, writing or making movies or whatever, you know, having all those people come together is what keeps us going. And, you know, you being
good
on
energy
here tonight is a testament to that. And thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, been a very, very yeah. fun show. And, you know, we definitely want to have you back. Sooner than later, definitely want to have you check back in with some of your new projects that you're able to talk about shortly. And so we'll definitely, I'll talk to Holly, and we'll definitely have to have you back so you can give us the word when you're able to on some of the new stuff. But definitely thank you so much for coming aboard tonight. And we definitely appreciate it, and have you back very, very soon.
I look forward
yes.
to it.
Sounds
thank
good.
You very much. And I guess we'll say goodnight, guys, and we'll see you all next week.
Yep, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Star Chamber Show, back at you with more from the creatives world. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.